Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, this is eBizQ's Peter Schoaf, and today I have the pleasure of speaking once again with Tarak Modi, Vice President and CTO of Caliber Systems, an employee-owned management and technology services company. Tarak is an industry thought leader in IT transformation, and in this podcast, we pick up on my first podcast with Tarak to see how the federal government has continued along its journey towards the adoption of cloud computing, something I think everybody's interested in right now. So first of all, Tarak, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be here again.
So now in our first podcast, we talked about how the federal government is an early adopter of cloud computing. Would you say this is still true?
Oh, absolutely. Everything we talked about last time still holds true. The Fed is still very much into embracing the cloud model. And we talked about so many cloud initiatives in our first podcast, and there's plenty more to talk about. But as the Fed continues to move to the clouds, concerns over security of government information, the privacy of citizen data, and the safeguards over our national security interests still remain high. And then there's the Federal Information Security Management Act, or FISMA, and its very stringent compliance requirements. So how can federal employees and the American people be confident that their information is safe in the cloud? I think that a root cause of the challenge was accurately summarized by Peter Mell, a cloud computing guru at NIST. According to him, the lack of a government-wide authorization program for contracted IT services has really hindered federal adoption of cloud computing. The question at the heart of the matter is, how do we best perform security authorization and continuous monitoring for large-scale outsourced and multi-agency systems, such as the cloud? The answer to this question leads us to a new program called the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program, or FedRAMP. FedRAMP provides the missing link. It's the unified government-wide risk management program that will enable centralized certification and security management of cloud computing platforms and solutions for federal agencies. I like to compare the challenge we have today with cloud computing in the federal government with the classic conundrum of a many-to-many relationship in the database world. As database architects already know, the only effective solution to the many-to-many conundrum is the introduction of an arbitrating entity called the join table. Think of FedRAMP as the join table for the many-to-many relationship between cloud providers and federal agencies.
Interesting. Now, you've already touched on both FedRAMP and the security challenges. Could you drill down on that a little bit more? Because, you know, from what I'm hearing is everybody is definitely interested in security when it comes to cloud.
Sure. Well, the basic ideas behind FedRAMP are quite straightforward. First, ensure government-wide systems and services have adequate information security. Second, eliminate the duplication of effort and risk management costs. And third, make the procurement of government-wide information systems and services more efficient and cost-effective. Most times when you hear about or read about FedRAMP, it will actually be a reference to an umbrella over three entities, which include the various security requirement authorities, the Joint Authorization Board, and the FedRAMP office itself. The security requirement authorities are responsible for creating the government-wide security baselines for specific domains. A perfect example of that is the Federal Cloud Initiative. The Joint Authorization Board is the group of authorizing officials who perform the joint authorizations that are then leveraged by the other agencies. This board consists of the sponsoring agency as well as three permanent members, the Department of Defense, the Department of Homeland Security, and the General Services Administration, or GSA. The FedRAMP office itself is managed by the GSA with liaisons from NIST and OMB and performs program management, security reviews, and continuous monitoring services for the government-wide use. I'd also like to mention two other noteworthy aspects of FedRAMP. First, FedRAMP will not require any new laws to implement, which means that it's going to be quite easy to put into place. And second, FedRAMP is not mandatory, so agencies with unique needs are still free to define their own security requirements, It makes sense since ultimately agencies are always responsible for securing their systems. In fact, even after FedRAMP is fully functioning, I expect that there's going to be a list of security controls that can't ever be done government-wide, and they will always be the responsibility of the respective agency.
Very interesting. Now, it sounds like FedRAMP, if it's going to be successful, is going to have huge implications on how people access and use the cloud. Is that correct?
No, absolutely, Peter. Your observation is spot on. Ultimately, FedRAMP is about achieving two main goals. The first goal is to aggregate cloud computing standards. Today, each agency has its own set of standards, which complicates procurement and frustrates federally focused technology vendors. FedRAMP is intended to consolidate the cloud computing requirements into one set of consistent and uniform standards that span the entire federal government. The second goal is to ease the cloud certification process, particularly as it relates to FISMA. And as you noted in your question, Peter, if FedRAMP is successful in its goals, the implications will be substantial and precedent-setting. The General Services Administration, for example, could accredit a cloud computing provider, such as Microsoft or Google, and other agencies could piggyback on that authorization instead of each agency having to go back and do a complete reauthorization for their own purposes, which is the situation today. Everybody, including the Fed, understands that the economic benefits of cloud computing simply cannot be realized if every agency has to independently review and certify solutions. The current fragmented model is just too redundant, time-consuming, and costly. And we're not talking about small numbers either. For example, what if I told you that over the last 6 years, the Department of State has spent about $133 million creating 95,000 pages of security documentation? That's a lot of money. Now, how much of this money could have been saved, and how much of the work could have been avoided? My educated guess is a lot.
Indeed. Now, NIST seems to be taking a leading role in helping agencies build trust in cloud computing. Can you elaborate on that a bit, on NIST?
Sure. As you know, NIST's primary role has been to promote the effective and secure use of cloud computing within the government and the industry by providing technical guidance and related standards. To that end, they provided us with one of the most comprehensive definitions of cloud computing and some pretty good guidance on effectively and securely using cloud computing. Actually, Peter, your question is very timely, as NIST just hosted a cloud summit a week ago with representatives from both government agencies and the private sector. The intent of the summit was simple: jumpstart the process of developing data interoperability, portability, and security standards for cloud computing that can be applied across all agencies. NIST is primarily focused in three main areas: setting standards, issuing guidance via special publications, and leading a unified, consistent risk management framework for cloud services. Now, we've already talked about FedRAMP quite a bit, so let's focus on standards and special publications. I think we all agree that we're not going to have wide-scale government adoption of clouds without standards. NIST is now leading that effort with a new initiative called Standards Acceleration to Jumpstart Adoption of Cloud Computing, or SAJAC. To the world, SAJAC will be a publicly accessible portal that facilitates a collaborative development of cloud computing standards and will host technical use cases, documented interfaces, reference implementations, and test results. The special publications, in turn, will provide best practice-based guidance on implementing the standards developed in SAJAC and other related issues such as secure server virtualization and applying FISMA and 800-53 controls to cloud computing. As you can see, NIST has a lot going on and is central to a successful adoption of cloud computing in the federal government.
Indeed, and it sounds like the federal government's getting their cloud act together. Now, looking ahead, what do you see for cloud computing in the federal government?
Well, I think it's clear by now that the federal government is very interested in clouds. And it's no surprise either when we hear numbers such as 1,200 data centers, 6 billion kilowatt hours of energy being used at a cost of over $450 million, and estimates of 12 billion kilowatt hours of energy being used by 2011, which would be close to $1 billion worth of energy. Now, these are pretty big numbers to throw around lightly. And given those numbers, it's no surprise that clouds figure prominently in the 2011 budget, where President Obama has earmarked $35 million to fund cloud computing programs and other IT initiatives, and another $70 million for NIST to develop cloud-related standards. We just talked about all the initiatives NIST has going on, such as SAJAC and FedRAMP. Now, if you recall, in our very first podcast, I talked about several cloud initiatives. The Federal CIO Council, led by Vivek Kundra, has recently documented in detail about 16 case studies of different agencies using cloud computing to gain significant efficiencies. Some examples include the Department of Health and Human Services using clouds to support electronic health records, the Department of Interior using clouds for agency-wide email, saving about 30%, and my favorite, NASA's Be a Martian website on the Microsoft Azure platform that has been a huge success with over 250,000 very cool pictures of Mars. Honestly, we're just at the tip of the iceberg. So hold on tight and stay tuned for a lot more action in the coming years.
Excellent information, Tarak, and definitely something at EbizQ we're going to keep our eyes on as well, and hopefully you can keep us informed. So this is EbizQ's Peter Schoaf speaking with Tarak Modi of Caliber Systems. Thanks so much for joining me today, Tarak.
Thank you, Peter.
This has been an EbizQ podcast.